Class is in session. Welcome.
Yes, it is.
I'm your host, Ignacio Sandoval Nachin, and today we're back at, you know, doing Love University, Love 101.
That's right.
With your favorite professor, Professor Dr. Avila.
Yes, I'm here.
And last week we touched on the topic of getting to know your personality, knowing who you are, so you can have better relationships with others, finding your soulmate, finding that individual that's going to gravitate to who you are, and you can gravitate to who they are. And today we're going to be talking about another topic that's going to be interesting and is going to make you, more than anything, think about love, but in a different scientific way that you can apply and really get a good benefit out of it, you know?
Definitely. Today we're going to talk about loving yourself. This is one of the most powerful things you can imagine. Because unless you love yourself, there's no way you can love others or even help society. So we're going to get within yourself. And part of this is a book I wrote. And this book came out very recently. It's called The Three Secrets of Happiness.
The Three Secrets of Happiness.
Forever joy can be yours.
Okay.
And basically, it's a fable. It's a novella, a little novel, a story. Kind of like The Alchemist. I don't know if you've heard of that book.
Yeah, I read of it.
Alchemista. And basically, it's looking at, you know, what makes people happy. And it starts out with a story of a pompous psychiatrist named Harry.
Okay.
This guy's an egotistical, very wealthy psychiatrist who goes to the mountain to meet a hermit who is supposed to have the secrets of happiness.
Right.
The hermit's name is Tanaka.
Tanaka.
Tanaka. So Harry goes up there and he brings the secretaries, his video recording equipment. He's writing a best-selling book, you know, The Secrets of Happiness by the Hermit. So he's going all the way up there to get these so-called secrets. Now, this Tanaka is a kind of, what should I say, a very sharp kind of guy. You know, he's actually a martial artist as well as
a very well put together guy.
Kind of a warrior of the mind, as they call it.
Okay.
So he's not going to put up with any nonsense.
Right.
So when Harry shows up there with the video cameras and the secretaries, Tanaka is naked.
Oh.
Totally naked. And Harry blows his stack. What are you doing? You know, I thought we had an agreement and this and that, you know, to videotape you. And Tanaka said, well, today I'm in a natural state. However, if you send away your recording equipment, your secretaries, we can get to know each other.
Okay? Oh, wow.
So the guy ends up sending away the recording equipment and the secretaries, and all of a sudden, Tanaka appears to be fully clothed. So Harry was actually hypnotized.
Oh, really?
By Tanaka. So it was like a mystical experience.
Kind of like transformation for him.
Yes. So he saw that he's fully clothed, you know, in a male figure. And then he proceeds to break his ego down, you know, Harry's ego down, so he can accept the three secrets. The three secrets are very simple, and they're actually psychologically tested secrets.
Okay.
Yes.
Before we go on, you talk about real love, finding love within yourself, and a lot of us lack that because we get lost in what is going on in our minds and our worlds, whether it's work, family, love, money, all these things that just tie you up and sometimes kind of like put you in a bundle and you don't even know what to do.
Yes,
these three points that you're going to bring up are going to help you sort that out, right?
Yeah, in fact, Harry had the same. You know, he had two ex-wives, he has a lover, he's got children. you know, all these issues that are going on.
Playboy guy, huh?
Yeah, and also, you know, basically unhappy, you know, very miserable. Because, you know, he's giving advice, but he's not taking advice.
Okay.
That's the thing. So the first secret is something that's very simple and very powerful, and it's called gratitude.
Gratitude.
Gratitude. Gratitude is the understanding that the good that comes to you comes from outside you, whether it's a higher power, friends or family, friends, or even a stranger. You know, one time I ran out of gas on the freeway. You know, I was rushing around Christmas time. You know, I was kind of...
And you ran out of money because you had bought all the gifts.
No, pretty much. So I was on the side of the road. I mean, it's fast traffic. It's a little scary. And no one was stopping for me. You know, I mean, I didn't even have my phone. So nothing to do. And all of a sudden, I saw this little guy running toward me.
Yeah. Okay,
little guy. And he
You're says, like, he's going to take my underwear now.
Exactly. Well, hopefully not.
Yeah.
But he says, hey, can I help you? I said, yeah, I ran out of gas. He said, oh, I'll help you. You know, I'll go get some gas for you. So I actually gave him a little bit of money and the gas tank. Of course, you're thinking, wait.
Did the guy come back?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. He's gone, right? No. Actually, no, he actually came running back.
Wow.
And then he actually helped me. And I was this was during Christmas time, you know, I was very grateful. I said, hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're like Santa Claus. I left an elf.
But he's a short little guy, right? And then he says, hey, no problem. Where I come from, people help each other. And I said, where's that? It's called Mexico.
Yeah.
So he's a Latino guy, you know, really sweet guy. So I felt grateful, you know, and gratitude actually, research shows people who are grateful have 40% better sleep and 30% less depression.
And a lot of times we're ungrateful for what we have. Like the other day I was at my house and my niece came over. She's a 10-year-old little girl.
Right.
And she says, oh my God, uncle, you have a beautiful home. And I wasn't grateful about it. I was like, yeah, you know what? To me, it's just a place I come and I sleep and it's a roof. But the more I thought about it, that night I went out and I was in my backyard looking at the moon. And I said, you know what? I'm grateful for it. And ever since that day, like, my whole perspective came and it changed. And now, like, I take care of things better. But it's not until somebody mentions something to you that you kind of, like, it clicks on you. Because sometimes we're just lost and we don't have to take the time to acknowledge it.
Yeah. In fact, I'll give you guys, listeners right now, a great exercise that's been research proven by psychologists to increase your happiness.
Okay.
And it's called the gratitude journal. What you need to do is every day write down three things you're grateful for. In a journal.
At night, before you go to sleep?
Okay, morning, noon, or night. You know, it could be any time. But do it every day for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And people who have done this have had 30% less depression.
Oh, wow.
You know, because it really does trigger that idea that, you know, I have a lot to be thankful for. My life is not as bad as I think.
It is. And a lot of people, what we do, we tend to live in the past, remembering the old memories and being, like, sad because we're not there anymore.
Right.
Or living with agony because you are thinking about the future and the future's not here,
right?
But yet you're feeling like desperate. You feel like, oh my God, what am I going to do? But we rarely take time to be in the moment and say, you know what? Thank you for everything that I have. If I'm breathing, if I'm seeing you right now, it's for a reason. And I must embrace that and realize that there's a bigger force moving things. And you just got to move with time. But that's a great exercise, right?
And definitely because gratitude, remember, deals with the moment, the now, like you're saying, right? It brings you back. What do I have to be grateful for now? Let me ask you, Nachin, what are you grateful for now? Give me three things.
I'm grateful for being alive and for having my family members. For those that don't know, I lost my parents about 4 years ago. I lost my my mom and then my dad recently, like a couple of 2 years ago. And, you know, it took a toll on me. And ironically, their passing allowed me to realize that life is very short and you must be grateful for the simple, beautiful things that you cannot buy.
Okay, definitely. So life, family, and how about us here
today? Health.
Health?
Okay. Health, yes. Okay, good. Yes.
And us being here today.
Definitely. Being here with you. Honestly, like, we had been waiting for this moment for quite some time.
Definitely.
And, you know, against all odds, we were supposed to start doing this podcast a month ago, but then you got sick, and then I got sick.
Exactly.
And I guess we had to get rid of all that stuff we had inside, and today's the day that we're doing
it. Exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah, my dad passed away 2 years ago, too. We shared that.
Yes.
Know. So, yeah, those pain can be turned into power. You know, that's one of my philosophies. And, you know, that's one of the goals of our program here, right? Is to help people turn their pain into power. So gratitude is such a powerful tool. Now, number two, the second secret. This is one of my favorites. It's called joyful optimism.
Joyful optimism. Now, first, be grateful.
First, be grateful. And that deals with the present.
And that's the homework for this week. You guys got to go and write three things that you're grateful for every day.
Yes, for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks, sorry.
Yes,
for
2 weeks. And then, email us, I think they have your email address, don't they?
If they don't have it, give it to them, please.
Okay, lovetype4u, L-O-V-E-T-Y-P-E, the number four, letter U, at AOL.com.
Okay.
So they can send it to us, and then, we can, give you feedback in terms of what's going
on. Definitely. We'll see your cases, because every individual case is different.
Yes.
And for those of you that are listening to us for the first time, this is Love University, a show, podcast more than anything, that's going to focus on having better relationships with others and with yourself. And today we're talking about the relationship of you.
Definitely.
Being grateful. And the second one you said was?
Yeah, the second one is joyful optimism. Optimism, it comes from the root word optimus, which means to expect the best. Mm-hmm. That your life will turn out well, to have faith in the goodness of it.
Others call it positive thinking, right?
Yeah, there are different ways to look at it. Now, this is interesting. They've actually done studies on luck, how you can actually change your luck in life. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people think luck is something you can't control, right? It's just,
I'm going to go to a witch doctor and he's going to help me.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But actually, this researcher, actually psychologist, researched people who are unlucky in life and lucky in life. People who are unlucky, get into car accidents, they get into bad relationships, they, fail in business.
It's one thing after another, right?
Yeah, some people know, people like that. Yeah. Other people are actually lucky in life. They get into great relationships. They win the lottery, they get the great business deal. So what is the difference between the two? So he did research, to look at the factors. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest factors was this idea of optimism and being open to new experiences.
Okay.
So for example, if you're in a movie line and you're standing next to somebody, the positive person, the person who has good luck, will talk to that person.
Mm-hmm.
This could be maybe a friend, maybe a relationship, maybe a business acquaintance. Maybe I can learn something. Mm-hmm. So they often are open to opportunities. People with bad luck, what they'll say is, I'm going to mind my own business. I got nothing to say to that person.
Why am I going
to
be like that?
Yes. Yeah. And they often have bad luck as a result. They have limited opportunities.
They're closing themselves to the world, right?
Yes. And they often fail as a result. So that actually is one good way to change your luck. They did a study actually where they said, okay, they had lucky people and unlucky people. Imagine that you're in a bank.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in walks in a robber. He shoots in the air. He hits you in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Is that unlucky or lucky? Okay. Now, unlucky people in life, you know, said, you know, that's really bad luck. I was minding my own business and they shot me.
I was just there, man.
Yeah, exactly. Now, people who are lucky in life, they say, you know, that's actually good luck because I could have been shot in the head and killed.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, tonight, I'm going to be on the news. I'm going to get free publicity for my business.
That's true.
You see? So they're a totally different
mindset. Perspective, right?
That's the idea.
It's perspective. And a lot of people, I don't know what it is, doctor, and I want to get to know what it is with you. We get stuck like a car in a transmission. You get stuck in one gear and you don't seem to get out of it.
Yes.
And you just stay like that. Like, for instance, like you said, the negative person, it's really hard to change them, but what do you think it takes for them to see that light?
Well, they have to suffer, unfortunately. You know, pain is the greatest teacher.
Yeah.
And sometimes they have to hit a certain point where life is not working out. They're extremely frustrated. And they have to see, you know, I'm doing the same thing over and over again. I'm getting the same results.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, you know, someone can come in like us. You know, someone can come in like us and say, you know, optimism. You know, just reverse what you've been doing.
Okay.
Right? Do the opposite. You know, so you don't talk to the person online, talk to the person online. You know, you're not open to a new opportunity, start to be more open.
You know, one of the things that I did when I was going through my emotional distress and, you know, we all go through it. I started thinking about it and I started to say, what am I doing wrong? And one of the things that I did was I cut off some people because I realized that there were people that were kind of like, they had a vice of thinking negative. There was always something wrong. And I tended to be in that state of mind too. And they used to paint the picture like if they were looking at it and saying, you know what? I'm just criticizing life. You know what? I know it all and blah, blah, blah. And I stayed away from those people and I started hanging out with a different circle of individuals that are like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hustlers, people that are saying, you know what? Let's go get it. Let's get it done. Instead of just being the victim, they were victors. They were out there doing stuff. So sometimes that's what you have to do. No, change your circle.
Yeah, because unfortunately, some people are what we call emotional vampires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they drain your energy in a negative way. You know, they complain. They're the opposite of optimist. They're pessimist.
Yeah.
And that puts you know, basically draining your energy. So there are times where you need to rejuvenize yourself, you know, by getting into a new circle, a new environment, and, you know, connecting with people that have that optimism, you know, that have that positive energy, the good luck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good luck attracts good luck.
That's true.
Bad luck attracts bad luck.
That's right? True.
You know, if you remember in the good book, it says, you know, whoever has more will be given more.
Yeah.
Whoever has little, that little will be taken away.
That's true.
Okay. So it's kind of a magnification, right? Whatever you have becomes more. And that's the idea we're working out with Love University.
And the third point to have a better relationship with yourself.
Yes. This is a very important one. So remember, so gratitude deals with the present,
mm-hmm.
optimism with the future.
Mm-hmm.
With the past is forgiveness.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because one of the biggest things that destroys us is, you know, the regrets. Okay.
Guilt. I should
have done this. I should have done that, you know. You know, and not just forgiving others, which is important, but forgiving yourself. This is the key. Self-forgiveness is the new compassion.
And do you think self-forgiveness goes back to the idea that you have to pretty much forget about what others told you and you have to kind of like clean your brain and say, been there, done that. It's a new beginning. Why not? Instead of always being like, I remember they used to say, in Mexico, if you give somebody a nickname when they're a little kid, they're going to grow up to be that nickname.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like erasing that nickname idea in your mind of what you've been taught to be. But if you're unhappy, start being positive and start thinking about it. I know it sounds more like easier said than done, but it's one step at a time, right?
Yeah, and I think basically forgiving yourself means that you could only act at the level you're at. So if you're in kindergarten, you can only act like kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in college, you act as a college student.
Right.
So whatever so-called mistake you made, it may have been a mistake, you have to realize that you could only have done what you did at your level. And number two is that you can learn from that, right? You can actually turn that into some positive. So what we can do is you can distill the pain from it.
Mm-hmm.
And what you have left is the pureness of it, right? You know,
right.
Whatever positive thing you learn from it.
Mm-hmm. Like so, never do it again.
Yeah. For example, in the book, you know, Harry lamented a lost love. You know, his first relationship, he was very aggressive and jealous with her. He lost her.
Mm-hmm.
So his tears were falling. You know, he was talking to the sage. But he realized, and the master helped him realize, you know, really, there's nothing you really could have done different, right? Because you acted at the level you were at the time, number
mm-hmm.
one. And number two, she ended up having a wonderful life. She married someone else, had a great family.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be happy for her.
Right.
And he actually realized, I can be happy for this person. I can have love for her, even though we're not together. So that was a healing force, you know. So instead of, I screwed up, I blew it, you know, hey, this happened for a reason.
And unfortunately, that's the biggest thing that I think a lot of people we face nowadays. Like, we are walking through life feeling guilty. Feeling guilty about so many things.
Definitely.
And we are our biggest critics.
Yes.
And I don't know if it has happened to you that you're listening to me, that sometimes you're walking by and you think a person's looking at you in a bad way, and they're not even looking at you. They're in their own little world. Yes. But since you're set in the past or in the guilt and the negative, you consume it as such.
Yes.
So it's a perspective shift that you have to do.
I think so. Yeah, I like the power of reversal. It's so powerful. You know, reverse and do the opposite of what you've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you criticize yourself for your mistakes, you know, actually love yourself for your mistakes.
Right.
And because without those, you wouldn't have become a better person, which you can become. So, you know, separate yourself from the pain and the anguish of failure, you know, because that's what destroys self-esteem. And we're talking about self-love, right?
Right.
So, you know, that's why forgiveness, self-forgiveness is so important, because it takes away the pain of your past so you can live a present and a future with power.
And that's, I think that's another big mistake we make, that we tend to think that just because we have a past that we are stuck in the past and we are that person, not realizing that life is a journey that starts off point A, and then you keep going to reach point B, and it's done. But a lot of people think that it's, you know, from the moment you start, it's going to be eternal. No, life is short, so there's no time to waste on BS.
Definitely.
Plain and simple.
Definitely so. And you have to progress the grades, right? You know, we're now at Love University. We're in our freshman year, okay?
Yes, yes.
So we're acting as freshmen. You know, we're going to make some silly mistakes,
of course,
as freshmen.
Yeah.
But then as sophomores, we're going to make fewer mistakes. We're going to learn, you know, and then eventually we're going to graduate. Once you graduate, you know, we'll be at a different level.
That's true.
And life will be happier for us. You know, there's more love, there's more success because we're making that upward journey.
Definitely. And right here, we're not focused on an age group because we're talking about love, and love is universal. It can be from a little kid to a teenager to a young adult to an older person.
Yes.
And whoever you are that you're listening to us right now, if you can help yourself, if you do that, I'm sure you can help others by being an example. And that's the best thing you can do. Start with you.
Definitely. And remember, love is a universal language. It cuts across our religions because our religions talk about love. You know? So basically, love is a universal language, a universal religion, and a universal communication.
Right.
You know, when you reach out to people, you know, someone in the street, maybe you give them something, you know, money, you help them, a smile, an advice, someone that you know, you're extending that loving energy. And that's the power that we're developing.
And a lot of people think that there's no such thing as energy. It's like, for instance, I'm sure that's how I was back in the day before we had wireless communication.
Right.
People were like, you're crazy, Tesla? How can you talk about, you know, remote energy?
Right.
Well, we are beings of energy. Our brain works with stimulation of energy shots, right?
Yes, exactly. So, you know, the energy, you know, the firing of the neurons, for example, in the brain, you know, it's all based on energy. So, yeah, so there is such a thing as energy, and emotional energy is one of the most powerful elements that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So by able to develop that in yourself, you know, a positive emotional energy, you know, optimism, gratitude, self-forgiveness, you can actually extend it to other people.
The way that I look at it, doctor, is like a human body, yours, mine. We are like a, you want to use the analogy of a car or a computer. Mm-hmm. That's what we are.
Right.
We are that thing that has a brain, processes information, and we have a body that moves according to that information.
Right.
But sometimes we get stuck, like a computer in a program doesn't have enough memory, and you can't close the other one.
You freeze.
Yeah, you freeze. So you gotta treat yourself in a point like the way you take care of your material stuff, your phone, your car, your clothes, your TV, your house. Imagine if you did that for your own being.
That's amazing.
You would be running like a top-notch car, like a smooth Mercedes Lexus,
definitely
well-tuned. And I think it goes with, like you said, the energy. You got to have harmony.
Yes, because think about it. People work 8 hours a day in some job, right, that they may or may not like. They spend maybe an hour doing something else, 2 hours watching TV. But
traffic.
How long do they spend on their mind and their heart? You know, whether it's reading these books, listening to our show, or, you know, doing other things, meditating and self-improvement. Not very much time.
Not a lot of people.
Right. So our encouragement is for people to start spending more time tuning up your own inner self.
With me, it happened in a kind of like in a forceful way.
Mm-hmm.
Like the times that I've kind of like lost my job in radio.
Yes.
I felt guilty. I felt guilty because I didn't lose my job because I was performing bad.
Right.
I had great numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But you realize that sometimes it's not you.
Mm-hmm.
It's forces around you that control that outcome.
Right.
And that's when you have to take away the guilt from yourself and say, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
It's not me. look at yourself. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I was forced to jump into this self-analysis,
right?
Because I had to grow from it. I had to learn from it. I couldn't stay down. Mm-hmm. I had to get up. I had to fight. Mm-hmm. And I think, like I said earlier, if you're breathing, mm-hmm. it's for a reason. Right. Embrace it.
Definitely.
Have a better relationship with who you are as an individual.
Definitely.
And don't fight it. Find it. Who's inside. Find that. Exactly. I think that's the key.
It's amazing. This is the new Ignacio.
Ignacio Sandoval.
I'm seeing the new Ignacio, and you know, I like that you resonate with this stuff.
I do. And like I said, I love doing this show with you, mm-hmm. Dr. Avila. Mm-hmm. I waited quite some time before I put a podcast out.
Right.
Because I just didn't want it to be a stereotypical podcast we're just going to talk about things that didn't make sense.
True.
I want it to be productive.
Definitely.
And that's what we're doing here. We want to teach you principles of how to be a better individual. And mm-hmm. today we're focusing on self-love. We just mentioned three great principles.
Right. You know, gratitude, optimism, and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three key elements of happiness. So it goes beyond even, you know, money. It goes beyond people. It goes beyond objects that you might possess, even physical attractiveness or, you know, any kind of success. It really boils down to those three inner elements.
Because
mm-hmm. if you have those three, and, you know, I would even ask yourself to rate yourself on those. So 0 to 100, like 100 obviously is maximum.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you today? 80 in gratitude, maybe forgiveness, 60, you know, whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then see how you progress. You know, you can keep even a little journal at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, you know, how am I doing, right? Obviously, 90% would be great, right? 90% is an A, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, remember back in the day in
school?
Yeah, right?
You got your A, your B, your C.
It's A, you're cool, right?
A. Yeah.
But if you get a 70%, you know, 60%.
Yeah, but you're doing it.
Well, you're working.
Yeah. What we want you to do is take mm-hmm. action.
Right.
And if you're embarrassed mm-hmm. of sharing with other people, don't do it.
Right.
Have a relationship with us.
Yes.
And with yourself.
Definitely.
And, you know, I want to hear in the future, once we go down the line,
right.
people calling us, we're going to get a phone number where people can call us and let us know their progression and how they become better individuals.
Exactly.
And how things are moving in a different perspective.
Yeah, better, happier, and more productive. Okay.
That's the key. You are more productive, but more than anything, you are healthier.
Exactly.
Right?
Healthier emotionally and physically, too, because a lot of it goes together. Some mm-hmm. of the physical illnesses come from the emotional illness.
And a lot of people don't realize that whatever you put in your brain is going to reflect in your entire body. If you feel bad, you're going to kind of fall down and you're going to have a crash, right?
Yeah, emotionally. You know, the immune system can go down quickly. Mm-hmm. On the other side, the more positive you are, right? If you build your mind, you can withstand amazing things in a negative sense. You know, for example, you know, we have the Eastern philosophers, you know, some of these people that can put themselves in cold water and ice water. You've seen the stories, right?
Oh, yeah.
Walk on fire. You know, they actually can do that. You know, they have such power over their mind that their bodies go along with it. And that's an amazing thing.
That's pretty much like being at a state of, I don't know how to call it, doctor, but I would say like in a state of control, right?
Control. They call it transcendence or enlightenment, you know, mm-hmm. different Eastern ways. But yeah, having a self-mastery, let's put it that way.
Self-mastery.
Self-mastery is an amazing thing. And all of us are in progress, right? We're developing that, going higher and mm-hmm. higher. That's why this is so important, what we're doing with this Love University.
And we go back to it. Last week, we told you that we're going to talk about the topic of emotional cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that briefly right now.
Yes.
We wanted to talk about first self-love.
Yes.
But within that, mm-hmm. the cheating, the emotional cheating, it happens sometimes because you're not happy. And that's the case. Like, say, for instance, you might be talking to somebody. You might have a friend that's compatible with yourself on social media and at work. But that's considered cheating, like talking to them and having that connection, doctor?
Depends to what level. I mean, do you physically spend time with them, you know, even without, you know, any sexual interaction? The fact that you're spending time with them in an emotional way can be considered cheating, assuming you're married or in a committed relationship, because you're taking time and energy away from your loved one that could be, you know, spent with that person. So it really is a fine line. Now, obviously, you can have friends, you know, say, you know, platonic friends. But if it gets to be you're sharing deep emotional things that you don't share with your partner anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're confiding in that person, right? And you feel an emotional, you know, emotional rapport that goes beyond just a friend, that could conceivably be emotional cheating.
Because you're kind of starting to get into the guilt trip because you're not being honest with yourself, that you're not happy on this other side with your partner, and you're searching for the happiness elsewhere, right?
Right. And again, also, it can depend on the personality types. We talked one time about the meaning seeker personalities versus knowledge seekers, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning seekers are into depth and meaning, and for them, it's very important to be emotionally connected to their partner. So if you have two emotional meaning seekers, that's crucial for them. If one of them is going outside the relationship, that for them is cheating. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you have like a knowledge seeker who's very logical and, you know, kind of analytical, they might not really mind. You know, mm-hmm. it may not be that big of a deal for them.
Right. I'm not jealous. I'm okay.
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah. I'll play mm-hmm. my video games and I'll do my science and you go out with your friend, whatever, you know, as long as you don't physically cheat, of course.
I have a friend that is actually into that. And I'm going to invite her the next time so okay. we can have her over.
Yes.
She is in a relationship. She's mm-hmm. in a committed relationship with somebody. They live together. They're right. about to have a family.
Yes.
But she allows her husband to mm-hmm. go out and mm-hmm. have sexual relationships with somebody else.
Okay.
But like you said, they're practical individuals.
It's possible. Yeah. I mean,
it works for them.
It's an open marriage, you know, so people mm-hmm. have different philosophies on that. But even aside from just the sex part, what if she says, okay, go out and have emotional relationships with other women, but not sexual? Mm-hmm. That might work for her because she's logical, right? She's kind of able to detach herself and is not connected. But if she were an emotional kind of what I call a meaning seeker, then for her that would be betrayal. Mm-hmm. Okay? You know, talking to other girls emotionally or to other ladies.
She will feel like somebody's just like crossing her.
Yes, definitely. So it really kind of depends on the personality types of each of the couple, right? Mm-hmm. How they interact with each other. And that's one of the keys.
And the key here, more than anything, we're talking about self-love in this episode. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, with self-love comes that idea of being self-honest. You got to be honest with yourself.
Good point.
So you don't have to be going out mm-hmm. there and searching for somebody else that can validate what you're feeling inside.
Yes.
But first, you got to start loving yourself so you can find that person that you can give that true love to.
Yeah, I like that phrase, and Gene, I'm impressed with you. Self-honest, that's good.
Do I get a start today, doctor?
Yeah, I'll give you a little happy face, right?
Thank you. Okay. And $10 for some tacos.
We'll see about that. But definitely, I think self-honest is a great concept, you know, and that was where I begin, right? You know, honest with yourself, your vulnerabilities, mm-hmm. your weaknesses, your strengths, what you really can say to your partner as well. Because mm-hmm. again, if you're not self-honest, you're not going to be honest with your partner. And you could even say, you know, I'm feeling emotionally down. I have this other person I'm, you know, maybe talking to, you know, let's talk about it. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's a very emotionally open relationship.
And you know what? That used to happen to me. Like, I was the kind of individual, like somebody that, like you said, a venture seeker.
Right.
And that mm-hmm. egotistic
excitement
way,
seeker, yeah. mm-hmm.
I would always want to be with somebody. Mm-hmm. But the moment that I didn't feel happy with that person,
right.
I was already jumping on board with somebody else.
Right.
But I wasn't honest with myself.
Yes.
I was mm-hmm. blaming it on the other person. I used mm-hmm. to say, mm-hmm. well, you know what? Things are not working out with that person. I'm going to mm-hmm. go with somebody else. Mm-hmm. Like if that other person was like another set of pants that I was going to change. Mm-hmm. And it's because I wasn't honest. But now I'm at a point where I'm honest. The moment that happened the last time, I was honest with that other person and I told her, look, mm-hmm. I don't think I'm connected with you anymore. And she was an emotional being and she didn't take it well. But as time went by, we became friends and we realized that the moments that we had together were beautiful mm-hmm. and we were just not for each other. But I had to be honest with myself first.
Definitely.
So I wouldn't mm-hmm. hurt myself anymore and put myself through a division or this other person. And I think that's what it is. Like my mom used to say, rest in peace, she used to say, you got to have huevos. Mm-hmm. You got to have balls to grab life. Mm-hmm. And for that, not everybody can be honest mm-hmm. and be an individual of character.
Definitely so. And I remember one time one of my students in my class, in a psychology class, was a Hindu lady from India mm-hmm. who was in an arranged marriage. And she said, I loved it. You know, it was wonderful. Her husband eventually passed away, but, you know, it was a great thing. Mm-hmm. And she says, when she was young, she got this advice. And she said, you know, basically, and this is from the male perspective, you know, this is for the males. Mm-hmm. If you want to love many women, love one woman. Mm-hmm. If you want to love one woman, love many women. I thought, wow, that's interesting. I never thought of that. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? So he said, well, basically, there's a type that you like. For example, you might like brunettes or blondes or redheads, whatever. So if you keep moving from one to the other, you're going to keep choosing the same woman over and over again, mm-hmm. you know, in just different faces.
Right.
Right. On the other hand, if you love one woman, you're going to get to know the depth of her. So she's going to have many different parts to her that you can explore over time.
That's true.
So in a sense, you know, it's actually more exciting and interesting to go deeper with one person than to go with the same kind of person over and over again. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the, you know, the idea.
And it's a great idea. And it goes down back to what you were saying. If you guys want to find out who you are as an individual and be honest with yourself, Dr. Avila has a website where you can take a quiz and find out your personality type based on psychology. And like that, you can find people that are compatible with you or even that. So you know who you are and you know you're happy with yourself more than anything.
Definitely. LoveType.com. And also guytypes.com are two websites that we have mm-hmm. that we can, you know, take a personality quiz, you know, find out your type and also find the person that resonates with you. a meaning seeker, excitement seeker, whatever type you are, you want to find someone like that. We're also going to put on what we call dating masquerades.
Oh, yeah.
Where we're going to have these live events where you can actually meet people. First of all, you have a mask on, mm-hmm. and then you have your personality type written on your shirt, like a sticker.
Right.
So you can actually interact with people based on their type first.
That's a great idea. You know what? Because if a lot of people are out there, they're lost in the love scene. Like, they don't know how to go about it. Like, they lost, they got divorced or they lost a long relationship partner. We want to put these events together so you can find that. And we're going to, be feeding our website, but also our podcast with this information. So you can realize that there is an alternative. There is an afterlife after you go through a bad relationship. It's about finding the good now mm-hmm. and forgetting about the bad.
Yeah, and go back to the forgiveness, right? Self-forgiving mm-hmm. yourself. For everyone's had bad relationships, right? Everyone's learned, been painful. But letting that go, dropping that from the past so you can start fresh. Because I see a lot of people in the singles world, 30s, older, mm-hmm. they have, maybe some bitterness, right? They have some of that resentment.
I'm out to get them. Yeah, I'm going to get as many as possible.
Yeah, or cautiousness or fear, because they've been hurt. So again, the key is forgive yourself from the past, for those bad relationships. It may have even been your fault. And then move forward, with that optimism, right?
Right.
And that gratitude.
Definitely. Well, you know what? We are running out of time, you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to whatever we have to say. We promise that every time we bring you some information, it's going to be in our best interest so you can have a better relationship with yourself and with others.
Yes.
And we hope that at the end of the day, Love University does teach you something and you get a degree in your love life within you.
Exactly. We're going to bring our A game so you can get an A in your love life.
That's true.
Our philosophy. So bring your pencils and notebooks and pens and pads and be ready for next week's Love University.
If you guys, in the meantime, if you want to send us any questions or any topics you guys want us to talk about relationships and love, you can do so on the website of Dr. Avila.
Right, theguidetypes.com and also lovetype4u@AOL.com. Lovetype, the number 4, letter U, at AOL. Send us your questions, your comments, also contact information. We can mm-hmm. also put you on the air and answer your questions live.
Definitely. And if you want to send me a DM, go ahead. And my Instagram is @NachinGon, NachinGon. And until next time, guys, class is dismissed.
There we go.